Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
I'd like to turn this afternoon, please, to a well-known Old Testament passage, the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to take the time to read the chapter together. We won't have time to speak on all the verses, but we want to just read this remarkable passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 53 and reading at verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now we know that the Lord will bless this reading from his word. This passage of the Old Testament undoubtedly is about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the righteous servant who is referred to in verse 11. And yet this passage, and as for this book as well, was written over 700 years before the Lord Jesus actually came into the world. And it is an amazing thing that so much detail and so much of the detail of our passage we recognize as being fulfilled when the Lord Jesus was here. There are some aspects that have still to be fulfilled, but in these verses we find out about the Lord Jesus growing up in this world as a boy into a man. We learn about how men and women responded to him when they saw him. We learn about his death at Calvary. We learn about his burial, that the men wanted to make his grave with the wicked, but he was with the rich in his death. All these details we can find fulfilled in the gospel records. And we learn about his resurrection. He shall prolong his days. And in fact, we see a future aspect, the life and of the Lord Jesus Christ as he enters into his kingdom. And all these details are written over 700 years before the Lord Jesus actually came. Now, why do I draw your attention to that detail? And it's simply for this reason, that God always had in mind this plan of salvation. The Old Testament foretold the coming of the Lord Jesus, not in vague terms, but in the specific details that we have read this afternoon. And the first thing we want to think about is the challenge that comes to us from the opening words of this chapter. Who hath believed our report? That is the big question that comes to each of us this afternoon. Have we believed the report that is given to us in the Word of God? A report that has to do with the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the challenge comes to us in the opening words of our chapter, who has believed our report? This question was repeated in John's Gospel chapter 12. And the problem you see that this chapter is going to unfold to us is that the people to whom the Lord Jesus came, by and large, did not believe the report. Even though they witnessed the miracles, even though they saw the Lord Jesus and they saw a man going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, yet they did not believe that report. And the question that comes to each of us this afternoon is, do I believe this report? Have I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? And is the arm of the Lord revealed to me? That is the question that comes to us as we read these verses. And so what we want to notice, first of all, is that the people to whom this is written, it's actually a chapter that is about a nation. It is about the nation of Israel. And what this chapter demonstrates is that that nation, when the Lord Jesus was here, rejected Christ. But the day is going to come when they are going to realize their tremendous mistake. And they're going to use the words of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and so on. But this afternoon, we can apply that individually as we make it known in the gospel. Now, you might ask the question, when men and women saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they listened to his teaching, what was the general response of men and women to the person of Christ? And verse 3 tells us he was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we might ask ourselves the question this afternoon, why was it that men and women rejected someone who could heal the sick, feed the multitudes, raise the dead, give sight to the blind, deliver men and women who were held captive by Satan? How was it that he was despised and rejected of men? And what we learn in as we read down this chapter is that the answer was not because of anything that he was, but the problem was with us. And so when we come down to verse number 6, a people will come to understand this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The real problem that was encountered when the Lord Jesus was here and that was exposed by his life and by his teaching was the waywardness of men and women's hearts. And this people come to understand, all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We're not moving in the right path. as far as God is concerned. We've turned away from God and we've pursued our own path, our own way. And part and parcel of the gospel message is this, that God wants us to stop. And he wants us to understand that the way we are on is a way that is going to lead us to disaster. We are on, as it were, a broad road that is leading to ruin. And he wants us to recognize that we're on that road and we need to turn around and we need to, in the language of the New Testament, repent. And we need to believe in this Saviour that is presented to us in this chapter. And so the reason that lay behind the fact that he was despised and rejected of men was the sinfulness and the waywardness of the human heart. And so getting to the core of the message, if you like, in verse 5, there comes a point, and it's highlighted for us in verse 5 by the word but. There is a but that is introduced. And the people who once looked upon Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, and they looked down on him, they despised him, and they did not want him. They said no to him. The people of Israel said at the cross, "We will not have this man to reign over us." But now we come to a point in verse 5 where they see their great mistake and they come to understand the purpose of the cross and the purpose of the sacrifice of Christ. And I want to read with you just again their understanding of it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so you'll notice that in this verse there is a confession of sin. Here are the people that come to realize the consequences of their transgressions. That simply is a word that describes the fact that they had stepped over the mark. If you like, the law of God had been broken by them. They had not kept to the requirements of God's law. They had transgressed it. So, for example, God says that thou shalt not steal. And they had stolen. That they were commanded that they were not to take the name of the Lord God in vain. And they had done so. They had stepped over the mark. They had broken God. They had transgressed. And then they had iniquities. And the idea is that they had committed acts of lawlessness. They had lived their life as if the law of God didn't exist at all. And my dear friend, what we need to come to is to realize that we're in exactly that position too. We have fallen short of God's standard. We have broken God's law. We are sinners in his sight. But the wonderful fact of this chapter is that it is presenting to us someone, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid a price for that. And so we learn in verse number 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And so the people, they come to understand in verse 5, and they come to look at Calvary in a new way. You see, when men and women at the time of the crucifixion looked upon the cross, they wanted Jesus of Nazareth crucified. They gave him a criminal's death, that our passage tells us. He was numbered with the transgressors. Two criminals were crucified alongside Christ. And he had the ignominy of being associated with men who had lived sinful lives, and yet he was sinless. But now in verse number 5, the people understand that there was a purpose in all of that. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now, what we need to understand is that these wounds and these bruises that are being spoken about although they can be used in a physical way, they do not refer to the physical sufferings of Christ on the cross. That's made clear to us when we come down to verse number 10. It was the Lord who bruised him. And there on the cross, the Lord Jesus experienced suffering at the hand of God, his judgment, when his soul was made an offering for sin. Now, no matter how deeply we think about this, and no matter how we seek to probe into the meaning of that statement, we all discover that we cannot fully grasp what that meant for Christ. But this is the teaching, this is the prophecy that is presented to us. On the cross of Calvary, the soul of the Lord Jesus was made an offering for sin. And his life was given up. His blood was shed. He was cut off out of the land of the living, in the language of verse 8. And the people come to understand that the reason for it was not his transgressions, for he was sinless, but it was for their transgressions. And so this afternoon we are able to preach to you that there is a solution to your sin. There is an answer to your sins and your transgressions. And it's found in the work of Christ at Calvary, that God has dealt with him, and God has dealt with our sins. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. These words are staggering when we think about them. I take it we understand it in the sense that because of the wonderful consequences and the outcomes of the cross, God was pleased to judge his son instead of judging us, that we might be forgiven and that we might be justified and that we might escape the judgment that our sins deserve. But here is a people in verse 5, and now as they look at the cross, they have some sense of the deep sufferings that the Lord Jesus experienced, that their transgressions and their iniquities might be dealt with, and that they might be healed. And it was all due to what the Lord Jesus experienced on the cross. He was wounded. The Bible speaks about in Revelation and in Genesis chapter 3, we learn about when Adam and Eve were put out of the Garden of Eden, there was an angelic being called a cherubim placed at the garden. And that cherubim had a sword, a flaming sword. And when we come to the end of the Old Testament, to the prophecy of Zechariah, there is this prophecy given, "Awake, O sword, against thy shepherd, against the man that is thy fellow." And as it were, on the cross, the sword of divine justice wounded and fell upon our Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. And the righteous claims of God's throne that precluded men and women from coming to the tree of life in Genesis chapter 3 has found its answer in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one that met the righteous claims of God. You see, God is not prepared just to ignore our transgressions and our iniquities. He's not prepared to turn a blind eye to them. But the tremendous truth of the gospel is this, that God has acted righteously in judging our sins in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus. And that's what Isaiah 53 is about. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Because of all of this, we can have peace and we can be healed. And so the question comes to us this afternoon, do we believe this report? We are looking at this now over 2,000 years after it was actually fulfilled. The reader of Isaiah's prophecy, when that prophecy was first given, was reading of it in prospect 700 years into the future. We're looking at it in the past. We look back to it now. It's been accomplished. And the question comes to us, do we believe this report? Now, a couple of weeks ago, our brother Jim was focusing on what is meant by believing. And we were learning again that believing is not just a tacit acceptance of facts, but it is a dependence upon, and it is a confidence in. And the call to us in Scripture is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Place our confidence in him. And you say, why would I do that? Why would I do that? Because he only can save me. He is the one that God has provided. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He is the one who has dealt with my sins. He is the one who was buried and rose again in triumph on the third day. There is salvation to be found in him. But it comes to faith. It comes to those who will not only rest their all upon him, but receive him. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, basically, and we've said this often, that the fundamental question in the Bible really is this: are we prepared to believe God? That's the fundamental issue that is taken up in the Scriptures. Are we prepared to believe God? You can only answer, I can't answer that question for you. You've got to answer that in your own heart. Am I prepared to believe what God says about me? That I'm a sinner, that I've fallen short of his glory, that I'm on the road to ruin? Am I prepared to believe God that he has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for me? And to be raised again, and to live now in heaven? And am I prepared to put my trust in him, to trust him, to have confidence in him, and in him alone? And really, in a nutshell, that is what the Bible is about. Because that's what all broke down in Genesis chapter 3 when man fell. And you see, what we have today, even in our chapter, is we have different views of Christ. And so in verse 3, we have read about people who despised Christ and rejected him. And they wouldn't even look on him. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. They treated him really as they would have treated a leper. And then we find a people in verse number 5 who've realized that Christ is the answer for them. That his death at Calvary is what can bring them healing. And what can bring them peace. And that is no different today. Not a physical healing immediately, but a healing of our spiritual being. A restoration of our relationship with God. Peace with God. Being reconciled to God. This all comes in our chapter from the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question comes, and with this we'll close our meeting. Here is the challenge that comes right at the beginning. Who hath believed our report? And really everything in this chapter is a challenge to us. Are we prepared to believe? Not just about anything, but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to put our confidence in him, to trust him, given what he has done, given what he is and who he is, given where he now is at the right hand of God. And if we want to have a future, and if we want to have blessing, and if we want to have a prospect of heaven, then that will only come because we've trusted him. The Lord Jesus made a very remarkable statement before he left his disciples. In John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, I'm the way. He didn't say, I am our way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that is true. We might not understand it. We might in the past have thought differently. But if we want to come to the Father, and if we want a place in the Father's house in heaven, then there is only one way. And that way is the Son of God. And he is the one that is confessed in this chapter. A people that once despised him, a people who once rejected him, they turn and they realize that it was their transgressions and their iniquities that were the reason for the sufferings of Christ and for his death upon the cross. And because of that, they can be free, and they can be justified, and they can be saved. And says our passage, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. And I'm looking at a company this afternoon, and I know that the greater part are justified. We are right with God, not because we deserve it, but because of what the Lord Jesus did for us upon the cross. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.